You're listening to audio from Grace Church, Miami. May you be challenged and encouraged by this message, having the affections of your heart stirred towards greater love and understanding of the person and work of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit gracechurch.miami.
Let me take a minute before we pray. I feel the need on behalf of the elders of Grace Church to both speak to the members of Grace Church. As shepherds, we're responsible for the sheep of the pasture of Grace Church. We want to care for our people. Others of you are welcome to be a part of this conversation as well, as I will address you as well. It's our practice to have a time of prayer through various needs here and abroad, and then to spend our time in the Word, which we will in just a few minutes. But I do feel the need on behalf of the elders to address and respond to the tragic event that took place this past week and the aftermath. This past Wednesday, on September 10th, Charlie Kirk was murdered on the campus of Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah. He was on the beginning of his fall tour visiting campuses. Charlie Kirk, years ago when he was 18, co-founded Turning Point USA, a nonprofit organization that was to encourage political activism, particularly conservative political activism, in high schools and colleges and universities. And he was known for engaging in the public space, respecting the dignity of free speech, respecting the opportunity to disagree and to do so civilly, even if at times the passions were heated and the positions were strong, to do so respectfully and thoughtfully. Charlie was married, two children, and as has been just reverberated around the world, the assassination of him publicly, tragically and wickedly, not only before a courtyard of thousands of people, but even more tragically and wickedly before his own wife and children. I feel the need to respond to this to help provide clarity on, as Christians, how we ought to think, how we ought to talk, how we ought to pray. And I hope to do so to provide some clarity. This is an exclamation mark for our country on what has been increasingly seeing a deepening division and, sadly, an increasing frequency in violence related to politics. Last year, in 2024, we had the assassination attempt on Donald Trump in July and September. In April of this year, there was an arson attack on Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro's house. In May of this year, there was the killing of two Israeli embassy staffers in Washington, D.C. In June of this year, there was the shootings of two Minnesota legislators and their spouses. Now, what concerns me, particularly this week, as a side comment, I feel I want to say this to you as like a spiritual father to some of you. Not the main point I want to make, but let me, if I can, make this point. Due to the proliferation of social media, and everybody through our smartphones has a recording device, and the desensitization of our own sensibilities, some of these acts, including what happened this week, are then broadcast quickly, disseminated globally, where you can witness what otherwise would never be seen except tragically by police or by firefighters or by military in fields of combat. And I'm concerned that the clickbait sensibilities of us, or even just viewing this and the desensitization of this. It's interesting to me that just one day later, it was September 11th, this past Thursday. This past Thursday marked the 24th year anniversary of what happened on 9/11 in our country, in New York City, Washington, D.C., in Pennsylvania, which was the plotting of terrorists, 19 of which carried out the attack on our country, where 2,977 people were killed. 24 years ago, to our shock, we watched on TV as people in other countries gloated in the death of Americans, chanting in the streets of their cities. The death of not 2,977 people, but the murder of one. And to see the wicked response by some, to watch it, to gloat in it, to mock it, to speak so insensitively to it. Friends, be clear, regardless of where you are politically with your policies and your politician, it's never right to gloat in murder and death. You are a pawn of the evil one when you do that. And I do not in any way mean to lay blame to anyone in this room. I know of no one here that would do that. But I mean to help us discern appropriately. How shall we respond to these things? Because these are confusing times for people. I offer five considerations. Number one, we never want to normalize evil. The loss of human life, no matter who they are, is tragic and worth lamenting. Wickedness is never right. Cannot help but to think of the prophet Isaiah, who says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, "Woe to those who call evil good, and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness." Secondly, we need to remember vengeance belongs to God. While we might have an appetite for these plot lines and movies and storylines and books of the citizen avenger taking matters into his own hands because they have assessed the failure of other actions to be taken as quickly, as rightly, as comprehensively as they deem fit, friends, find our bearings in Romans. Find our bearings in the Word of God, that God has himself entrusted civil authorities as his representatives. Paul says in Romans 13, verse 4, God chooses to use government as a, quote, servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Thirdly, as people who read our Bibles and believe that there's a God behind this word, and even running this world, we need to put off fear and put on faith. It's not a platitude, it's a perspective. The devil loves to traffic in fear and anger. And our news cycles just make countless amounts of money off of it. Make no mistake about it, you are a consumer of goods and services. At some point, you have to be honest enough to recognize that. As your fear and anger is being stoked so quickly, so easily, times I think we need to turn the TV off and open the Word. Put a log on the fire of our faith. The Lord wants you to put your faith in Him, not in men. God is always sovereign, wise, and good, even if it's mysterious. This is, after all, why we pray. Fourth, this is a time of repentance. God uses such acts to get our attention. It starts with actions of others, but then it implicitly leads to our own reflections and actions. What is God calling you and me to do in light of this news? For some of you, it might be personal repentance. It's interesting and encouraging, regardless of the sound bites you might be subscribing to, the incomplete representations you maybe have heard second, third, fourth hand, that Charlie Kirk personally at times talked about his faith in Jesus. Not a religion, but a relationship. About Jesus dying on the cross so that we can live. He also talked about encouraging others to not wallow in anger. Don't resort to violence, but to find joy and purpose. For Charlie, his ultimate purpose was not in mobilizing young people to be engaged in civic space of society. Though his organizations were about that, for him personally, his hope was not in politicians or policies, but in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says at Thessalonians. We grieve, but not as those without hope. What's interesting about Christianity is it doesn't ask you to compromise justice, and it doesn't in any way annihilate or eradicate grace and forgiveness. There is no other way to have both except in the cross. God cannot compromise his justice or he's not holy. But in what manner and what way would he demonstrate grace and forgiveness? There has to be a substitute. There has to be one who was murdered unjustly, having never committed any wrongdoing, to being the righteous substitute for all those who put their faith in him. The cross of Christ is presented as a paradigm for understanding suffering. Christ's suffering was far greater and a part of his divine plan so that we might have peace with God, hope for eternal life. Lastly, this is a time of prayer. You know what you often hear in society? People don't know what to say, so they often make the phrase, our thoughts and prayers go out. I was listening to one commentator who was saying, our thoughts go out. I thought, at least they're honest. This one particular commentator had no religious affiliation, did not believe that there was a God, atheist in their belief, and so who would they talk to? What would a prayer be offered? And as far as thoughts, we're not even sure what we should think if you have no sense of bearings. It's like being in the sea and being motion sick. Give it time. You will feel nauseous. But Christians, we have an anchor. We have an anchor, and I can assure you, friend, it's not on our social media feeds. The anchor is in God and his word. He has spoken, gives us confidence that we can have our thoughts be aligned with his. We can have our prayers not be ushered into the stratosphere of nebulous deities, but to the true God who reigns over all, who says convincingly and historically and provingly what men meant for evil, he meant for good. This is why we pray. We pray for everyone involved. We pray for Charlie's widowed wife, his children. We pray for the murderer. We pray for those who celebrated the murderer. We pray for revival in our country. We pray for our churches to preach the gospel. We have to stop offering cotton candy Christianity and get a real steak dinner up in here. Give people the meat of God's word. 24 years ago, as a nation watched the wicked acts of 19 terrorists take the lives of 2,977 people in our country, we saw in the aftermath of how God used it in people's lives to get their attention. There was an increase in people going to church like never before in the previous decades. There was an increase in the sales of Bibles. People wanted to read the Word of God. There was an increase in spiritual conversations. People wanted to have questions about life and meaning and purpose and afterlife. There was an increase in prayer like never before, and more people surrendered their lives to Christ than in years prior because they could not find meaning in life, peace in this life, hope for afterlife, if they died whenever, however, that happened apart from Christ. We find ourselves here yet again, but for different reasons. May you not waste this tragic trial in our nation's history. Be a part of the answer to prayer by how you respond to the Lord and how you respond to others. If you profess to be Christ, a follower of Christ, a Christ follower, this is your time to shine. With patience, with wisdom, with conviction, with courage. Evil does not have the final say. God does. And I pray we would listen to him as he speaks through his word to us, even today.
Thank you for listening to audio from Grace Church, Miami. May God draw you nearer to him through his word. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit gracechurch.miami.